The Gospel Easy as 1-2-3, Part 3, Repent. Each of the three parts of the Gospel plays its own essential role in our salvation. Now we will begin to take a closer look at the individual steps involved in obeying the Gospel. Step 1 of obeying the Gospel is to repent. Matthew chapter 3 says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord, and his message of preparation was to tell all men to repent. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So that's the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and from that beginning, Jesus also preached telling all men to repent. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the writer reminds us that repentance is part of the very foundation of what we believe. It is step one. It is the beginning point of walking with God and obeying the gospel. Now, do I really have to repent? Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Now, look at that. Repentance is not a suggestion. God commands it. He didn't say you ought to, he commanded you to. And repentance is not just for bad people. It says here that he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Everybody has to repent. No one is excused or exempt from repentance. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So if we do not repent, we will perish. Now, I don't want to perish, and I know you don't either. So I'm going to accept the instruction of the Bible and realize that I need to repent. So what does that mean, to repent? What is the meaning of the word? Well, there are two Hebrew words that appear as the word repent in our English Old Testament. Now, one of these words simply means to be sorry. For example, Jeremiah 31:19 uses the word that means to be sorry. It says, "Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth." So he was saying, when I got in trouble, when somebody reprimanded me, then I was sorry. I felt bad. That's what he's talking about, his feelings. He's just like the rest of us. After he got caught, he felt sorry for what he had done wrong. You know how you sit on the couch on Thanksgiving afternoon, rubbing your belly, saying, "Oh, if only I hadn't eaten all of that food. I wish I didn't get that last helping of stuffing." But it never makes you change. You regret what you did, but come the next Thanksgiving, you eat just as much. That's that first word, repent. You feel bad about it, but you don't change what you're doing. Fortunately for you and me, it's okay if we don't change our Thanksgiving habits. But if we don't repent of our sins, we're going to perish, Jesus said. Now, the other Old Testament word that appears as repent, it doesn't mean to be sorry. In fact, it doesn't talk about feelings at all. It means to turn back or to turn away. Now, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6 uses that word. It says, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations." Now, God did not command his people to feel sorry, but instead he commanded them to turn away. That's what that word repent means. Now, the New Testament also has two different words for repent. They basically correspond to the Old Testament words. One means to care afterwards or regret what you've done, but the other means to think differently, to reconsider, to change your thinking about what you do and what you have done. Now, the first word that talks about caring afterwards or regretting, that's used in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3, where it says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders." Now, even Judas repented. In terms of feeling bad, he regretted the situation he was in. but he still did not get right with God. You see, all of the verses at the beginning of this lesson use that second word, which means to think differently, to actually make a change. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist said, repent. He was not talking about how you feel. He was talking about making a change. When Jesus began his ministry in Matthew 4:17, telling men to repent, he's not talking about feeling. He's talking about changing. In Acts 17:30, God commands repentance to all men everywhere. That's not a feeling. That's a change. When Jesus said, if we don't repent, we will perish, he's not talking about a feeling. He's talking about making a change. Every place in the Bible that repentance is commanded or instructed, it is the word that means to change what we're doing and thinking, not telling us how to feel. So how can I repent? How can I make this change? Sometimes people want to change and find themselves unable to. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Now here's the important part. If God, peradventure or perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So repentance is something that God gives. It's a supernatural gift that God gives us. Yes, I do need to repent. I do need to make a change, but I depend on God to help me do that. It's by His power that I'm able to repent, not by my own power. It's a supernatural gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, a feeling of sorrow or regret over our sins is not the repentance that the gospel requires, okay? It's not about feeling sorry. However, when God convicts us and confronts us with our sin, the godly sorrow that He puts on us can lead us to true repentance. So the feeling is not repenting, but the feeling helps us repent. And that's one of the ways that God works with us, is to give us a godly sorrow, to give us conviction for the things that we've done wrong. And that can help us, if we will let it, to pray and turn and change and truly, really repent. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, when we truly repent, we make changes in our lives. We don't do the things that we used to do. We don't live the way that we used to live. How can I repent? I've got to make changes. I've got to stop doing the things that are contrary to God's word, God's ways, and God's nature. I'm dependent on God to help me do it. I'm dependent on conviction to help draw me towards it. But ultimately, I've got to make a change. When we repent, change happens in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, repentance is our response to His death because old things are passed away. We die out to our old lifestyle when we repent. All things in our lives become new. Now, if you want some deeper insight into repentance, you should study Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. These are beautiful prayers of repentance from David, who was a man after God's own heart, and yet he was a man. And just like you and just like me, he fell short, he sinned, but when God confronted him with his need to change, he turned to God and prayed and sought God and made those changes and those turns. He repented. Luke chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Repentance brings joy in heaven. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I want that. I want that times of refreshing. I want it in the presence of the Lord, and I want my sins to be blotted out. So I need to repent. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord promised, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear all the way from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." When we turn, when we humble ourselves, when we pray, when we truly repent, God will forgive and God will fix the problems. That's why in Acts 2:38, when Peter preached the gospel, he started out with the very first word of his message and told those people that day, "Repent."